हरिः ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Bhakti Sandarbha, Adhyayana 1, Adhikarana 3.
Adhikarana 1.
Adhikarana 1, okay. And on page 10. Current software, huh?
Maharaj, I have a question I was reading yesterday about this knowledge. It's right in the beginning of the page 10.
Okay.
The jiva's essential knowledge is covered by Maya, by the misfortune of being opposed to the Lord, which means that the jiva has, without beginning, samsara gabhava, possessed no knowledge of the beginningless supreme entity. So, I'm not clear whether the knowledge of the supreme, is it there or is it not?
It's inherent in the living entity, but the jiva is not aware of it. Because when you say without beginning, means it's from time immemorial. It means it's before time. Because the spirit, the living entity, is in the spiritual platform. And then see, because tatastha means you're in the middle, and you have to make a choice. You know what I'm saying? So then the point is we make the wrong choice. Mm-hmm. But it's a choice that we make ourselves, because we're there on the spiritual platform. You know, Krishna's there, the opportunity for all these things are there. But instead of taking that, then we look across to Maya and then think that the happiness gained from the activities themselves is more important than using these activities in connection with Krishna and getting the happiness from that. So we look at it, we will directly get the happiness ourselves rather than, you know, seemingly indirect to Krishna. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the point. And so then you also say, when you bring in the material world, there's no time, so you can't say that there's a beginning, therefore the beginningless is you. So it doesn't indicate that there's no, that knowledge is not inherent in the jiva, you're just not taking advantage of it. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So there, the knowledge is unmanifested. It is the inherent, but
yeah, just like
jiva doesn't take advantage of it.
Yes.
Then the experience isn't there, because there was no experience before that. Is that correct?
I think so. Let's see what he says. He may know something further on.
Yeah, because later on, Bhakti is described as the Guhya Jnana.
Guhya.
Guhya Jnana. Mm-hmm. So when you are referring to knowledge, it doesn't even just mean the knowledge of the soul, which inherently possesses the chit.
Right.
But it's about the Guhya Jnana, the Bhakti.
Okay.
That knowledge, it doesn't have. It has in our thoughts.
Because it means it's just like Dhritarashtra knows Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But it absolutely does not matter when it comes to him making decisions. Hidden.
Hidden.
Because the point is since it's based on devotion, only if the living entities have that mood of interacting with him, Krishna reciprocates. So if you are on a neutral platform, then Krishna will be neutral with you. You know, it doesn't mean that he's not around, you're not seeing things. It's just like, let's say you're at a formal program and you formally deal with people, they formally deal with you. And it never gets close or intimate or that, and, you know. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So that's the thing, we have the choice. So 9 out of 10 make, you know, see moon towards Krishna. They develop that attraction. And so then that moves them forward, you know, into that, you know, samadhi, and then takes them on to Ahamdasa and prema. Mm-hmm. But that place of being liberated and that and being in the neutral platform, that all jivas start from. Then choosing maya, then we come here. And then by giving up that, we can come to the neutral. That's why giving up maya, you automatically come to the neutral. It's not a big thing. Like if I leave the house, I am outside. It's not like it's a big deal. You know, I was outside, I came in the house, I go back outside. Or the other way around. You know, you're sitting here looking at, well, wow, that looks nice, and you go out there. And, you know, then you decide to come back inside. So, it has to be seen, because we're dealing with, like you said, the guhyanam, that this knowledge, the chit, it has to be dealt with, not with sentiment. It has to be dealt with knowledge. It means if the sentiment is that attraction to Krishna, that's fine. But if it's based on that, do we get mental, and, oh, is this and that, no, I've never had a relationship, and so I can never have a relationship, and this and that, and they'll go on and on and on like this. But at the same time, as let's say the boy's never had a relationship, the girl the opposite. They've never had a relationship. They've never seen each other, never known each other, never bumped into each other. Absolutely nothing. So, what does that mean? It means there's, according to this philosophy, there's absolutely no question that they could get connected to each other, develop an attraction, and have a long-term relationship by this philosophy. Sorry if we're getting a little annoying here, but dealing with this for the last 40 years, at one point it gets really, 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 really annoying. So, but the point is everybody's happy. They meet each other, they see, they get interested, they get attracted, and then they have a relationship. But unless I was there in prema right there, hey, buddy, buddy with Krishna, then, you know, I was never there, so why should I go back there? This is using zero brain. Point is tatasta means tatasta. It's in the middle. Understand who you are. Jivas are tatasta. They can go either way because they're so small. And so then they move forward. I'm not saying this about you. I'm saying this about those who ask all these questions. You know what I'm saying? So, therefore, the position is, it's not about us. It's about us and relationship to Krishna. But these questions come up because they want to make themselves the center of everything. It's about me and what I like, and, you know, can we change rasas because maybe I'll like it something else better, rather than who are you and what's your relationship with Krishna. You know what I'm saying? The guy is the son of a rich man. He's out on the street. You know, probably gives this example. Then you explain to him about, you know, that's your father. Now, would it be an intelligent question to say, but do I have to? Does he have to be my father? I mean, there's that guy over there. He seems to have a nicer house. Can't I, you know, why can't I be his son? It's kind of like, you are who you are. No?
Yeah.
Maybe it's Tuesday morning. Mars.
We can feel the power of Mars.
Also, in the context of knowledge, I think later in Bhakti Sandarbha, or somewhere in the beginning of Priti Sandarbha, it's described about the question being asked that the sages who are in neutral relationship, they are known for their jnana.
Yes.
But on the other hand, gopis and other devotees
are known for not having.
So what is it? Like, how, if somebody not possessing higher jnana, how can you say that they can have higher
rasa?
Then Jiva Goswami explains, having the knowledge in the neutral platform is not true knowledge. If somebody has knowledge about how to act in relationship with Lord, then that is even deeper knowledge than the previous. So they know what is the tattva of Lord, like, you know, how is Lord as a person and what pleases him. So that's why their knowledge is superior to the knowledge of the sages who know the Lord.
That's a very nice point. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Because the point is there, you know the relationship with God, who you are, and this and that, but you're not acting in it, because the sages don't act. It means they appreciate. So that appreciation is their action. Right? That is their devotion. That's why sometimes they stop, you know, it's five rasas, but sometimes they say, well, actually there's only four. Because they're meaning the dynamic, you do something with that. And so then when you start off, the nature, the first thing is the servitude. So then the majesty is there. Then it goes closer to the it gets more deep and more intimate when it's the friendship. And then as it goes deeper, it's less and less about the knowledge and more about the person. Because when we say we have knowledge about God, generally our knowledge that we'll have is about Paramatma, Krishna as God. Because, you know, how he controls everything. When actually, that knowledge he's talking about, the Guhya Ganam, that is about Guhya Jnanam. Guhya Ganam is a section of the Samaveda. It's all the hidden songs. Huh? Yeah, it could be that when you go into that, it's all talking about Brajlila. Yeah. Yeah, it's not impossible. Yeah, so it's just a matter of understanding that neutral state and having the knowledge. You can have all knowledge. It doesn't improve your relationship with Krishna. It's being attracted to working in that knowledge. So abhideya means that you do something in the context of that relationship and knowledge. So someone says that brings you forward. That becomes dynamic. So that's what's so special about bhakti, is that, let's say for ourselves, we come in contact with devotional service, we don't have that much knowledge about Krishna, but we're already attracted. Like that. It may be a small amount, but we're attracted. It's dynamic. That means basically every devotee in the movement is already on a platform of knowledge of this guha jnanam that's higher than the sages. Because the sages are on that platform but don't have that attraction. Sorry?
That we don't tell that to the new devotees, that they are higher than the sages. Because they will take it
later. Yeah, and then they'll walk around. Yeah. Means on that aspect, means that they're they have that knowledge, but that's their taste, that's there. So that's the thing, is these things are there. We inherently have our position, you know, we're Satchitananda, we have our relationship with Krishna because of who we are inherently. And so it's just a matter of uncovering that, revealing that. You know? It's just like, let's say you have the child. They're born in the family. But now, in the beginning, all that's revealed is the relationship between the parents and the other members based on that they're a baby. But as time goes and they grow up and they mature, then they start having a relationship based on themselves as part of that family. And especially if they're the one in the family to inherit, you know, taking care of all the assets of the family. You know what I'm saying? Even though he may be the son of a very wealthy person, But the father won't deal with him like that in a relationship until he's old enough to start, you know, have some maturity to appreciate that. You know what I'm saying? You don't tell your six-month-old baby, you know, to hold him in your hands and take him up there on the balcony and go, boy, one day all this will be yours. No, you wait until he's a bit older. You know? So that's the thing, is that there's this, we don't use our intelligence when thinking about these things. That's why it's mentioned, don't worry about it. Because we'll only think about it in time and space and any other of our conditionings and this and that. And the fun part is whatever we do, we'll bring it back to ourselves. What I'm going to get from it. Oh, I never had a relationship. Or I want that relationship. I want this or that. Or it's about me. The point is we want to please Krishna. And we want to please Krishna through this relationship. That has meaning. That's the point of Raga and Luga. We're following the footsteps of those who are pleasing Krishna in a particular way. We're not saying, I am that. That's the husband. Is that,
yeah.
Does that work?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything? Okay. Sorry for getting grumpy out of the gate, but... Huh? It could be. It could be the weather. It could be it's Tuesday. Yeah, it's just somehow or another there's these questions. I mean, you meet them all the time that you've answered a million times and they won't go away. And the only reason they won't go away is because people are attached to the taste that they get from thinking that way. Because otherwise, it's very obvious. Why would you continue like that? You know, so unless they were trained like that, but who's going to be trained like that? What religious process or philosophy teaches them about their relationship with God? You know, other than God's great and we're small, we're a servant. You know, please God, you'll be happy. You know, that basic stuff is there. But being there with, we're not, you know, that's like talking about what relationship we were with in the Garden of Eden. You know what I'm saying? So I say, no, who's teaching anything, teaching that? So it's coming up here, so then why speculate? But it's fun. So in here, then it's meaning without beginning means because it's on the eternal platform. Because you're on the spiritual platform, and so there's no time there, no material time. Then in that condition, we become attracted by the material. Then we're put into the material, and then we appear as Brahma, and then start within that. So then that's why he's mentioning then you have the three different kinds of things. That means that kind of non-existence, not ever existing in past, present, and future. Means that, you know, it never was, isn't now, never will be. Then, which existed but then was destroyed, you had that relationship and was destroyed? No, like that, it's not that either. Then, previous non-existent did not exist but appears a later time. So you hadn't acted in that relationship, so therefore, but now with time, you can act in that relationship. Does that make sense?
Last paragraph, it says that that this knowledge not having previously existed in the jiva doesn't exclude the possibility of obtaining knowledge of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So it means in the future. Then in the jiva we speak about this one.
Yeah, because he's meaning this knowledge about the guha jnana is not present.
But my question is, we're talking about the eternal nature of the jiva sakshitananda,
yes,
or their conditioned state.
It doesn't matter. It's natural for that to develop, because when you combine, means what is bhakti? Bhakti is the combination of chit and ananda. So if they don't have that knowledge about a personal relationship with the Lord, then how will they act within that? And therefore, then they're acting in that way to please Krishna. So then that will be bhakti. So then it will naturally be revealed. Because it's Krishna's potency. We're not the lords of bhakti. Right? Krishna is the lord of bhakti. So then he reveals that. So then it's natural, it's there, because if you don't have Satchit and Ananda, how, even if it's there, it resonates, what happens? Nothing. You know, so the material energy, it doesn't have that, so you can't make this pillar, you know, then become inherently devotional. You know what I'm saying? But in the spiritual world, everything's Satchit Ananda, so there, the walls and everything can become, or, you know, manifest that devotion. So it's just a matter of revealing. It means he gets down to this level of explanation, because you see is that people are asking a question or having doubts on that level. But as we saw from the Nyaya, that not necessarily they're even understanding what the basis is of their doubts. Right? It means if you're having a proper conversation with those who are trained, they're aware of what it is that's causing their doubt, because that becomes their thesis. You know? And so then they have so much to explain from that. But here in these questions, much like they don't have a background on it. It's not logical at all. You know? Does that make sense? You know, so for them, they're using their experience of going out shopping. You go check this, check that, and if it's something more expensive, you can actually try it on, you know, or take it for a drive, or walk around inside the house and, you know, get an idea of what you could do with it, you know, bring that interior decorator, and they can say, you can do this, that. And only after going through all of that, then you say, okay, this was the best. But then it's about yourself and what you like. But we're talking about a relationship with Krishna. So relationship means it has to be the connection. But that's not actually the basis of the discussion. When you say, oh, but can I change relationship? It has nothing to do with what Krishna and the relationship with Krishna. It's what I think or what I perceive I'm going to get the most happiness from. That's how we got here. We perceive that, hey, maybe I'll get more from just, you know, keeping the results for myself rather than acting in context of Krishna. So it's the same problem. It's just a new, how do you call it? There's an English saying, old wine, new bottle. Hmm. You know? So, yeah. So it's just the same thing that has been presented before. Just, it didn't work like that, so you present it in a new way. And it's just like the Mayavada philosophy. It's the same thing. But then, since their Brahmaparinamavad didn't work, then they go into some other thing. They just keep changing, but the principal thing that I am God doesn't change. But the mechanics of it, the technical thing, that keeps changing. But the principle, I am God. So the other thing is, I'm the controller and enjoyer, doesn't change. That's why these questions never go away. They're not giving up that willingness, or accepting that willingness to surrender to Krishna and give up that attachment. So, does that make sense?
One of the people, though.
Sorry?
The old one and the new button.
Yeah.
One of the people, same one, new button, small. Ours is the same.
You're kidding, small. Yeah, we just found out.
Isn't it?
Yeah, I found out the other day is that the condensed milk, it's always been 400 gram cans. Now it's like 380 or something. Mm-hmm. Same price.
Israel, they had a big scandal about milk. Because they found out it's not 1 liter. It's 900 ml.
Yeah.
Like everywhere it's like that.
But it's the same price.
Price is the same.
Yeah,
because it's by the government. Milk and, you know, basic products, they should stay the same price.
Right.
Okay, so they reduce the quantity.
So did the government correct that?
I'm not sure. It was a big scam.
Or they can just say, okay, you can sell 900, just the price goes down 10%.
That's not good.
Hmm?
That's not that
happened. Yes. So we always have to understand that that's going to be the underlying motive behind anything that doesn't actually support Krishna consciousness. Because I'm the controller of the child. that's always going to be the background. He said, it has to be, because if we're serving the Krishna, I'm servant of Krishna, then it's a matter of what service, how to be engaged. You know, how and what's recommended by the acharyas, is I don't know. You know, we're not knowing how to serve Krishna. The eternal associates, they know how to serve. Except Vartakarna.
Yeah. I think the difficulty is that ultimate principle of Vyasti and Samasti, even hearing, you know, any devotee describing, you know, like glorifying Guru Maharaj on Vyasa Puja. Mm-hmm. Doesn't have to be Prabhupada or anybody, you know, particularly. Mm-hmm. It's just a general observation. Then subconsciously, people describe that person who should be the main. Mm-hmm. We came to glorify Guru Maharaj, Srila mm-hmm. Prabhupada. But what actually happens, it's him in connection to me. So me become the main point. The main story is about me. Mm-hmm. And then Srila Prabhupada or, you know, Guru Maharaj or anybody.
Yeah.
And it's the same with Bhagavatam. Mm-hmm. People, it's somehow, I don't know why, it's really difficult to speak on the point without bringing myself into the picture and then slowly take the main, like you mentioned, be the center of everything. And then it happens, and if you point
it's completely,
yeah. It's like so natural. Yeah. And if you point this to the people, they will be like unhappy.
Yeah.
They will think, and then you spoil the mood, you don't respect, what do you know about my relationship, and this and that. But and it's interesting, actually, to everybody, to the audience, and of course to themselves. But it's not on the topic, technically speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So observing so many instances of that, it's not an unnatural for a conditioned living being to act like that, because it's, you know, we've been doing this for, like, I don't know, unlimited lifetimes. So it's immediately happens.
Mm-hmm.
But then speak on the topic, actually, very few people can do that.
Yeah.
Very few.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, this is a tendency of the conditioned living being.
Yes.
And then, of course, when we speak about, you know, beyond time and space, then still it's my anxiety in there.
Mm-hmm.
Although an anxiety doesn't exist there, because
mm-hmm.
it's Satchidananda by definition,
mm-hmm.
but here we can see that Satchidananda, it's not it's dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
Means we've been there in that state, but it wasn't developed to the full capacity of Satchitananda.
Mm-hmm.
But then we project that if I am Satchitananda, you know, it's like unnatural to act and choose something of the lower quality,
mm-hmm.
experience the higher, but experience and knowledge of that wasn't there. Because if we don't have knowledge, then what do we experience?
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily what it is.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I was thinking about this point, because mm-hmm. this never came up, actually, about the knowledge part.
Well, because it comes along slowly, because you're trying to establish the Lord. You see, the six is, you first establish in Shastra, because otherwise, without that as the basis of Brahman, then it's still going to work on what I feel like, and what I think, and this. So it has to be Shastra, and the Acharyas. Then you're going to go through these stages of understanding, you know, Krishna's, how, you know, everything's coming from him, it's all connected to him and that. Otherwise we think there's God and then there's this world. No, this is all, everything is Krishna, there's nothing that's not. But you have to connect it back to the person. Because you see, that's the interesting thing. In Paramatma Sandharva, it talks about Paramatma. And then now and again, you know, connects to Krishna. But in Bhagavad Sandhara, every point on Brahman, it connects it back to Bhagavan. Mm. It's coming through. Because otherwise, then you'll think it's an impersonal aspect. But no, it's like that. Once that's been established, it comes from there. Then you're going to understand, okay, Paramatma is the expansion of that same person. Then you get into the person. Once you understand the person, now we can talk that level here in devotion. Because otherwise, you don't talk, then people speculate and come up and put themselves in a you know, mental anxiety. But if you do talk, then they just have more food for thought, you know. And since the thought is not actually necessarily getting anywhere, then it just makes so. That's one has to be very, very careful. So probably be very careful on presenting like that. So I was just listening today a lecture on Prabhupada, San Diego in 72, where he's then taking the devotees up through, and he's explaining the things on rasa and how it comes up and that and how it becomes more connected like that. But he's explaining it so simply that you generally wouldn't think that he's enumerating one of the, you know, list of things. Mm-hmm. You know, just like when he deals with the levels of consciousness, you don't think he's dealing with these technical points. And so he'll point those out, and he gets to that quite quickly. It was also, and that was before that was a lecture that he gave in Sweden, you know. So it must have been, that was that famous lecture, you know, that we've always heard about with the Von Ashram. But I didn't hear it there, so maybe it has multiple parts or something. And so then, there then, right in the beginning, he's right away getting to the point of rasa, relationship with the Lord. He's just, everything he's doing is establishing God's a person. So we'll kind of like tiptoe through and all that. No, he just goes straight to that and then starts, then very carefully connects everything to Krishna. But he establishes first that God's a person. You know, so you're there and some. And someone is better than you in something, and then someone's better than him, someone's better. So that person who no one's better than, that's God. Mm-hmm. You know? He's the Supreme Person. And then he brings everything into that. Then everything he does, he brings back to that. So I thought that was very, 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 just very exemplary, just how Prabhupada was bringing out that personal aspect right from the beginning, right in the beginning of the lecture. So it's very, very nice. You see also Bhagavad Gita introduction. You know, why are we doing Gita? And then immediately goes into the five rasas. Krishna is a person and the rasas with him. Then he starts explaining all the other aspects. We'll tend to do it the other way around because we're going from the vyasti, the samasti, you know, from ourselves to the Lord, then Prabhupada take it from the Lord, then bring that down to us. It's a very, very different approach. But how he does it is so pleasant and smooth, so natural, because for him, God's a person, so if you're going to talk about God, you're going to talk about the person who's God, and then you're going to get into these things. You know. In other words, if you use the inductive, you know, kind of way to take it up like that. I'm sure that there's others by now that do very well at it, but the best I ever saw was Ramachar Maharaj. Was at we went to a program at somebody's house. It was some very rich person's house, but the parents weren't there. You know, and so the daughter was there. And she was interested in devotion. She had become, you know, taken up Krishna consciousness, but I think the parents didn't know about it, or even if they knew about it, they weren't interested in it. So then there's a program where she invited all of her, you know, peers, you know, same kind of high grade, you know, best education, you know, that kind of person at the program, and then he spoke. And then he took it up through this whole thing, the conscious level of consciousness, how each one goes to the next. Prabhupada would do, you know, but he'll do it very quickly, get up to the top, and then start explaining. But he just took it very, very like this, because they were all like intellectuals and stuff. And so then, yeah, I've never seen anyone do better than that. I haven't had much exposure, but somehow or another he specialized in being able to do that, go into that crowd, because he's from that background. He's very intellectual and that, but at the same time, he becomes, you know, probably said he was the smartest in the movement. Like that. And so then he would just get into it. He just knew how to take it through and walk through all the mazes of all these people's intellectual, you know, thing.
They
liked it. Yeah, they did. The fun part is that is that and the surface shot and all that, and then suddenly everybody went whoosh, everything out. Because they had to be gone by 11. And as the car pulled out and got into the street and moved back, the parents drove in. It was just, you know, the timing was very excellent. It's just, you know, that kind of thing that they can pull that off, you know. And the house is clean, everything's just the way it was before. You know, just the dog there. And, oh yeah, how was the program? Yeah. What are you doing? Yeah. it was very far out.
Also later in this Jaya, it's described about the different levels for reaching to pure bhakti.
Mm-hmm.
So first it's told about, you know, you need to perform pure bhakti at all times, and but one who has not developed full faith,
mm-hmm.
that just hearing and chanting the activities of the Lord is sufficient, then he should not give up, till then he should not give up his prescribed duties and activities.
Mm.
There I'm like, I was trying to see that the connection with the Bhagavad Gita verses in chapter 12 that, you know, first you perform spontaneous devotional service, it's not the regulative principles of devotion, mm-hmm. if not that, then you act in a way which is helping devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
So here also it is told that the next thing is either you do Karma Mishra Bhakti or Dhyana Yoga. And the problem with devotees is about we do not develop full faith in the direct activities, so mm-hmm. we have not reached to that stage of Nista,
mm-hmm.
but then we are not willing to follow the activities in such a way it is conducive to bhakti rather mm-hmm. than leave these two levels of karma, mishra, bhakti and dhyana.
They go to the fourth.
That last one.
Is open hospitals, be a nice yes. guy, give a charity. That's taken as the, you know, religious standard.
And because of that, then when we are trying to understand bhakti, every time that attitude and nature comes in. Because we are pious enough, then we are able to sit and appreciate bhakti, but it's an impediment to develop that full faith.
Yes, yes. Because it also means, as it mentions, I think in Vibhishu Purana, when it's talking about, you get the idea when it's talking about Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
He says he lived Dharma, but he preached sub-Dharma.
Mm-hmm.
So you see, basically, in the Abrahamic religions, that sub-dharma is what they appreciate. You know, like the Krishnas, be good, be nice, you know, like that, the good Samaritan, you know, turn the other cheek, someone slaps you, then turn the cheek so they can slap the other side. You know, that kind of thing. And that's considered to be a really high, I mean, it means you do that and you're recognized, you'd be, you know, canonized as a saint.
Yes.
You know? So that's the thing, it's about that, it's about the sub-religion, because the religion and how they're going to engage their nature in God's service very nicely, that they couldn't get into, and about what was the nature of God, all this and that, they couldn't get into. And we also see, as Prabhupada mentioned, about the, I think, the Aquarian Bible. You ever heard of that?
Yeah.
So Aquarian Bible is then, I don't know how it came about, but it's some revelation of when Jesus was in India, at least that's part of it. Like that, because I think it may have come from the Essenes, because there's a group of people that were the Essenes. They were a religious group. They were Jews, but they were more kind of, they were more esoteric or more into just, or at least from our view, more into the idea of bhakti. And so they stayed out of the way and all that. And so some say Jesus was from that group. You know, so he came out. And so even in there, he's in Puri, but he's commenting to the Pandas, and so we're talking 2,000 years ago. Basically, he's saying you're dealing with an idol. He's trying to point out that you're not looking at God with pure devotion. You're just going on the rituals. Like that. Does that make sense? Though from the Christian point of view, or like, they'll take it as see, he's just an idol and all this and that. They're not saying that. Otherwise, why is he there? Why is he at Puri during Rath Yatra? Why is he staying in India? Because, you know, it's you know, historically known that I think from the time he was 12 to 30, he disappeared. You know, and then you have this whole thing about how he's in India and how he's taking part. And so Prabhupada makes the point, he was living in the temple. Who could live in the temple unless they were a devotee? You know, and they were, you know, some kind of, you know, sadhu. Otherwise, how does he stay in the temple? You know? So, like that, it's a matter of appreciating that he himself lived the religious lives, but it's not necessarily that the others taught, because he's talking about the position relationship, and people are too attached to their karma. You know, so they had turned the temple, you know, just in front of the temple, into a complete market. And that's where all the action is. You go in the temple, nothing was happening, but it's all happening out on the steps. You know, so, you know, when he came in, then that was the problem. So he was trying to avoid going there. Right? Because if he went there, this is going on, because he's out in the field, out with the people, he can talk what he wants to talk, but he goes there and he has to deal with all this stuff. You know, and that's then when he came there, that's then when Pharisees and, you know, there are two groups, Pharisees and Sadducees. So the Sadducees were the Sadducees?
No, it's from
Sadduc,
the teacher. He thought he was just a person.
That's amazing. How easily the thing gets twisted. Yeah.
And then they started to following
rules. Okay, so they became smartest. It means he was preached about more towards pure devotion, and their interpretation is being smartest. That's the Sadducees. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then that was, you know, so then those guys are there, so then they have that whole thing, is that they're smartest, so he's not following the rules like they're doing, so they don't like. At the same time, he's not able to, he's not bringing about the relaxing of the rules and keeping their mentality without the pure devotion. So neither group appreciated him. So the Niyamagraha, none of them liked him. So that was a problem. You know, Prabhupada points that out. When you preach pure devotion, there's always going to be a problem. You know, an example he gives is Christ. You know. Christ and Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj even spoke pure devotion to his father, didn't work out so good. In the long run, it did. You know, we had that one pass on the Shiva day, but for him personally, there were some trials and tribulations. Yeah. Yes.
Aquarium.
Yeah. Well, it's. I mean, it's American is aquarium. There's everything there. So it means it would be more. You have to put it in your note. Aquarium. That would be proper American.
But, it's
So it came from the Essenes themselves?
Yes.
Okay, so was it some modern thing?
Yes,
but they also don't know, like you said, that Socrates existed either, so, you know. We can't really take with
it. Especially because many of ancient monasteries of ancient Christians came to us on the Vashtra. And some of them are in Vatican and they don't know. So now it's very really dark team. They don't know what is exact and what is not.
Yeah, yeah. That's what they do. I don't know. Means you go by the doctrine, then you can see if it works.
But I have a question about this rule. The question about the Christians, they follow the self-religion.
Means all, basically all the Abrahamic. It's all. But I'm saying Krishna's, Jesus specifically spoke that, because if you see in there, it's mentioned here and there, but what people follow. And so then he was preaching that because that would at least get them to move up. Because he's, if you look at his 12 apostles, they weren't necessarily your, from, you could say, from the most glorious backgrounds. You know? I mean, you know, fishermen, you know, so they were a rough bunch. And then, I can't remember who was it, one of them was a banker, you know?
Yeah, tax collector.
Yeah, tax collector, you know, so very sensuous, very, you know, like this and that. Yeah, yeah, so I'm just saying, it's the same kind of, because when you preach, you start with the lowest. You know, because otherwise, without someone of that caliber, how do you pick them up? Because it said a neophyte, they can have influence on others, somebody else who has that piety. But they, you know, they can't do much. But it's just kind of at that level, this level. But the you know, the Madhyama can have more influence. There was that place, isn't it? In the Sandarbha or someplace? Where it mentioned what effect that they can each have. How far they can take. The Mahabhagavad, they can actually take someone who has nothing and bring them up to their level. So you see where the problem is here, just the devotees, no attachment, no nothing. Whatever their background was, it was gone. You walked in the temple, you didn't care about any of that. It was all mine. So they're acting on that. And then with time you see that it drops back to that, as you were saying, that fourth level of Krishna's recommendation. But it's better than the fifth one, was, you know, being impersonal, so, you know, that sort of.
The Christians, Moses, was also outside the religion.
Sorry? Means if you say, don't kill, right? Don't steal, You know, don't envy your neighbor's donkey.
You know.
I always leave that one out, but yes. You're not supposed to. You're not supposed to go after the guy's wife, not into his, you know, his donkey.
And not his fence.
And not his fence, his land. So that basically covers it. You know? In other words, don't bother his wife, his car, or his house. Right? You know. Yeah, and his health. Don't kill him. Yeah, because if you kill him, then you can take his land, his donkey, and his wife. Yeah. So that generally comes under don't steal. That means so all that. But just to make sure, okay, I'm not stealing, I'm not pickpocketing, I'm just taking his wife. No, that's also stealing. You know what I'm saying? Sub-religion is based on what makes the social scene work nicely. It doesn't mean that that pranamoy level is not advantageous in for devotional service, but it's already included in dharma. Because it's God's law, therefore you do all these things. Because nowadays people are talking, how many people refer actually back to the Ten Commandments? You know what I'm saying? So how far are they taking it back? Or they're going back to the, you know, the, what's it? Talmud or Pentateuch, or which is the Torah? Which Talmud is a commentary, or Talmud's a commentary? Okay, and Pentateuch means just the five books.
It's the five books given by Moses.
Moses, okay. So Moses gave us, okay.
He was very productive.
Yes, he was. How you say?
And he didn't get to Israel.
Just three books given by Moses, and two was written after him.
Oh, okay.
Three is also good.
So they're not bad. I mean, he's well published.
And
people are still reading what he wrote.
And he never got to Israel. That's not fair.
Yeah, but he didn't get to Israel. But at the same time, maybe God was saving him from the Palestinians. Yeah, because when they walked in, there was all that craziness that goes on. And, you know.
But they said that nobody was there. They said no people. So when the racists just came, there were no people.
Yeah. But because from what I understand is they're maybe not there because they came in from, someone was telling me that they were doing the things about what they were saying and someone went out and really researched it. That they, and about the mountain, because he stayed on the mountain to watch them go in and all that. But that place, they entered in through Jordan. So at that time, then the locals were in Jordan. You know, that would have been the place. And that, so that could be that strip of land between those hills and the ocean. Mm-hmm. Then maybe no one was living there, because they were living farther in, near to the, to the, you know, the Jordan River, and it seems specifically the other side of the Jordan.
So Jordan also belongs to Israel, from this point of view.
Yeah. You have to have water. You know, I mean, the ocean and the Dead Sea aren't quite enough. So the thing is they were there, and they were also, they're more nomads, right? Like that. I mean, you still have those nomads there in Israel. But they seem to blend in socially a bit better. No? They join the army, they do things, they see.
They're wild.
They're wild, but I'm just saying they
still live like that.
Yeah, yeah, no. They still live.
I don't think they join the army.
Well, I had heard that they join, but they just don't, they don't get positions of office.
They
don't.
They are so discriminating.
Yeah.
They do that.
Yeah, that's just because of their wildness. So it's just, you know. Yeah, so it just means that would have been the people moving around. So you know, that there's no one there because they'll be moving, but the people where it's situated, that would have been Jordan. I mean, Jordan was developed. You know, because that side, because when you go from Jordan over, that's where then you get into all the, you know, what do you call it? You get into the, I'm not sure where it was. Where's it? Do you know where Baal is?
Baal?
Baal.
Is it Baal?
No, I think it's a place. It's a city? Or maybe it's worshippers of Baal.
Yes, they worship Baal between two rivers in Mesopotamia.
Oh, okay, the Euphrates and the
Tigris.
Tigris, yeah, that's it. In that area. So it's almost the same as always, the same place.
It's not Egypt.
No. It's like in Iraq. It's in Iraq now. Yeah, it's over in Iraq now. Because before you had, originally you go back, in Morgan you had the Sumerians, who was basically like the Vedic culture and all that, the gods, but they were, more demigod worship and stuff like that. And then you would have had the other side of them, you would have had the Iranians, the Persians, who were worshipping sun god from Yagyas and stuff like that. So up to there was kind of more, and then that would have been down. They were demigod worshippers because Moses' father seemed to be a Pujari, and he had so many deities in the house. So many, you do all the worship and all that. So it seemed that you had that Vedic culture, but it dropped down into just demigod worship. So it would have been, very materialistic. Mm-hmm. By that time, even up in, I think when Govinda Maharaj was saying when he was up in Kazakhstan, that somebody there, I don't know if it was an academic or one of the mullahs there or something, was telling him that he was saying that in that area, that region, that Central Asia, that all the mosques are built on the ruins of Buddhist temples. Yeah, and then he said, and those Buddhist temples are built on the ruins of the Hindu temples.
I found in one Vishnu temple.
Yes. So saying so, the point of this person was that previously in Central Asia they were all following the Vedic culture. Even we had when we went to Thailand. We were sitting and doing, just sitting down, put a rug and doing some kirtan. And at a very busy place. And then some monk came over to us, elderly monk, and invited us into, he said, there's a temple. And he took us in the temple. It's out of the way. You hardly see anybody over there. I don't know if anybody even knows it's there. Went inside and had three rooms. Two of them, one of them looked like it was Ganesh, but the whole altar had fallen apart and that, and the deity was broken and that, and I can't remember what the last one was. Like that, if it was like a Buddha or anything like that. But then the first one, then that was going on. So you had Buddha and so many Buddha deities and this and that. But if you look carefully, there was also Shiva there, and there was Radha and Krishna. Mm-hmm. And he said that he was telling us, this is the king's personal temple. There's the one in the palace, but this is his personal temple. So I guess it's been handed down. So those Radha Krishna deities were there, by the looks of it, for a long time. They've been there for, when they were Hindus. Like that. And so he was saying, before we were all Hindus, so then they were worshipping, like that. So it appears that they were worshipping Rama or Radha and Krishna or like this. But then when Buddhism came, then they all became Buddhists. But then he said Shankara then drove the Buddhists out of India, but not out of the rest of, Southern Asia. And so we stayed Buddhist. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing. It was up north there. They were Hindu, then they became Buddhist, but then they became Muslims. So the same, that whole area over there, so Jordan at the time and all that, those areas, they would have been some variety of, relic of the Hindus. Mm-hmm. Because it mentioned about fire worshippers and stuff like that. So
the Egyptians, they always worshipped.
Yeah, they were there also. And that, and then you, demigods. And then you go back further, then there's also a thing where there's this one king, and I think that these different groups had attacked and killed the king. And so the son, when he took over, then he banished them. And so then, I think there was something where he gave a certain way they had to dress or certain things so they knew who they were. Because at that time, the whole earth would have been Bharat Varsha. So it would have all been that they had to go that way. So they all went towards that east. And so some of the things that described, I think about their beard, you know, shaved and maybe then braided. So you see the Egyptians would do that. Mm-hmm. And some other things. So you see that they had elements from the Vedic culture, but this they were trying to do without, so they didn't have that association. Mm-hmm. You know? So I say it all goes back to there. You know, apart from then, you all go way back. You know, the Kshatriyas went out and then they took over Europe and this and that. So you have had these things. Because Muhammad is, what? How long ago was Muhammad?
1500.
700, okay, so that, yeah, 1400. No, now it's 22. Oh, but we're in 21st century. So it's still 1400 years ago. Yeah, so it's more recent. So then you had the Jew, means you had the whole Hindu scene going on, like that. But it wasn't monotheistic. Then Abraham came and then started the monotheistic aspect. You know, then you had the Christianity. Then you had Islam. Greeks were also demigod worshippers. Yeah, demigod worshippers.
They were in between who? They were before Christ.
Yeah, yeah. No, they went back. I think they're at least 1,000 years before Christ, if not 2,000.
Yeah.
But seeing there, the people came in from Central Asia, so it would have been those leftover Kshatriyas and things
that's
like that.
More obvious,
that
they were
women. Yeah,
the
and then
dress, yeah. Their worship, and they also say how developed they were in terms of the sewage canals.
Yeah, because it would have just been they would have been doing things from what was going on more, you know, towards India. Because it was also quite developed in Mohenjo-daro, I think. You know, it's like so many thousands of, you know, I don't know, how long is Mohenjo-daro? It's like 4,000 years ago, 4 or 5, or something like that.
They'll just put it a few hundred years after the
Greeks. After the Greeks. Who put it? The Europeans, yeah. Because they can't tolerate that India was there first. It just, anything else can be. You know, even in the map where they have it was all one continent, and then by the continental drift. So India was over in Africa. So then naturally they go over there. So if it went over here, and then maybe they came out of there, it doesn't matter because they came from Africa. So they just can't tolerate that. That India could be the seat of the culture. It's just no. You know, okay, Europe's not. Okay, but if Europe's not, no place is there. And if you take it back to Africa, it's like nothing's going on there, so nothing to, you know, you can bring it up that it came up from there. But they couldn't tolerate that, you know, it came from China or something. Or, you know, it was actually New York, right?
Chinatown.
Huh?
Chinatown in New York.
That's where it all started. and the far out thing is that the original Chinese lady's name was Lucy.
And she started from Brooklyn. Just from Brooklyn, Chinatown.
It all happened from there. That's where. That would be interesting. You could probably write a theory if you do it well enough. No one can disprove it. But, you know.
So it's like we say, you know, all the holy places are here, like Overdone, everybody has the same kind of
thing. Yeah. Also, the holy truth is. Jerusalem was actually, an Italian restaurant. So.
Yes.
What was those parts of Moses' laws which dedicated to worship to God? Is it based on some religious or religious
things? No, that would be you're following the rituals and all that, but we're talking about the level of consciousness that we're dealing with. So when he says Jesus priest sub-religion, because it's just a matter of be good, be nice, because at least then they would have a tendency to look towards God. So they were monotheistic, they had faith in God, but they weren't connecting God and God's culture so much. Means they had their own, they put something together. But we see with time it wasn't so much about God. Like you see in the old, that Abraham is talking with God, Isaac, Jacob, Moses, they're all talking with God. I mean just directly, you know, talking things. Hang out at the altar? What is that called? the covenant. He's had the there was the altar that they always carried with them.
Yeah. It's
ark.
The Ark of the Covenant. So that ark, that was always set up, and that was where the temple was. And so they go and sit there and talk with God and have all kinds of things, and it's all documented. But you notice with time, there's less and less talk.
Direct line.
Direct line, yeah. No. But with time, you see is that there's less of that. You know, after Moses, you don't see it so much. Now and again, there's some major thing, but otherwise not so much. You know, then they lost it, and then supposedly the Nazis found it, but it didn't work out good for them. And then some say it's in Ethiopia, in one of the Christian churches there. No one's allowed to go in there, so it's a little dinky thing. The church is like about as big as this where we're sitting.
Can you say that probably it was still Babur Yuga when they were that connected, and then when it came?
Yes.
Abraham.
They
only lived like 1,000 years, and then.
Then you see very quickly it went down. But these ones where they were sending them out, I think that even could go back to Treta Yuga. Yeah, so some of these cultures and that, you know, could go way back. You know, or early Dwapara. It wouldn't have been the end, because we know the stories from there, but these are, if you see the Puranas going way back. You can find out who the king is and then look in the Bhagavatam where the list is and then maybe find it out. But it's not so important. The point is they've gone out.
Some have
responded
to scientists themselves that they have Jewish people worship a name, what is adopted was the name of Lord Yagya, I have a question. The Yagya came in first Mantara, our first Mantara, but we need to call him seventh.
I mean, it's always there. Yagya is always there. It's one of the things, because you always see in Satya, you always have meditation. In Treta, then you have Yagya. Dwapara, you have temple worship. And Kali, you have chanting the holy name. So what you see is that, you know, all these different kinds of things are there. The temple worship is there, and those things. Because they used to do fire offerings. It was called the burnt offering, at least in the translation. There was an offering they would offer, there would be something that would be put into fire. I don't think maybe by that time maybe they didn't know as much about the technical details of the yagya. You know? Like that, because they didn't have the physical, because they were always traveling and stuff. So, but yeah, there was always the burnt offering. Yeah, it was only animals like that. They didn't quite catch it when they asked God, do you want the blood or the flesh? And he said, I'll take the blood, but you can't have one drop of it. That's where the kosher and halal concept comes from. But he said not a drop, because they can say there's not one drop. They can say nothing's coming out, but still there's going to be blood there. So the point is, if you can have the flesh, but you can't have one drop of blood, that means that you could only, you know, you can't have it, because you can't have it without. But they work out their ritual how to get around it. You know? So you see those things.
Not a
grain. So even one grain. Yeah, so it's just that's the point, because means up to that point, this is, I don't know who worked that out, if that was worked out with Abraham or like this, but you'll see all throughout that whenever they, like in when they left Egypt, went into Sinai, God gave manna, and then, you know, which was vegetarian, but after eating that for a while, they went into than when in flesh. So then it says in the verse, God got angry. And then all these dead birds come falling out of the sky. And everyone, Aribo! And then goes pick it up. And it says, as they were in their mouth chewing, they died. It wasn't that they ate, and after a while, I feel funny. You know, I got belly belly, or something like that. No, as they put it in their mouth and bit on it, they died. So you kind of get the idea, maybe God didn't like the idea. So then I guess they went back to manna and they were cool.
Sometimes.
For a while.
For a while.
Okay. And then they found some nomad sheep or something like that going on.
If you look in, you will find.
Yeah, so like that. So you can kind of get the idea that that was there, that it wasn't actually that pleasing to the Lord. So. But the problem is that, you know, people just interpret or project. I mean, one, they have to make it practical for themselves, but at the same time, is you should try to keep the spirit of the law intact. You know what I'm saying? So that was, as we mentioned before, that the Sadducees, it was about the rule, but not about the spirit. And the Pharisees, then in the name of the spirit, they would drop the rule and adjust. So I think, practically today, I mean, for rise to everybody's Pharisees.
Yes, and some are more.
Some are
more reformists.
Oh, okay. Reform is more Pharisees, and
yeah,
so Orthodox, previously by the Sadducees, would have been considered reform. Oh, so there's still some people.
It's only one group, but it's outside of Jewish religion. I forgot the name of it.
It's not the.
It's a position.
No, it's not. It's not the one with the big round temple.
Because they don't accept other gods after Moses.
Huh?
Baha'i? No.
Baha'is are part of like.
They don't accept only Torah given by Moses, but they don't reject other parts.
Oh, the other two parts?
Yes.
So that's why.
We should follow all the rules given by Moses. But Pharisees, they accept all parts of modern Bible.
So the Sadducees didn't accept the other two books?
Yes, because modern Bible was Old Testament or Tanakh. Was finished in Babylon after 70 years after the death of Jesus Christ, when Jerusalem was destroyed by Rome. At the time
they wrote everything down.
They started to write everything in papers and compile one book. Before it was different manuscripts. And because this commission to compile that they were Pharisees, that's why they accept all of these things. But Sadducees, they accept it only the Torah and the Bible.
Okay.
And that's why this group nowadays, they don't consider them Jewish, they consider them, I forgot the exam name.
Okay. The only other group is the Druze, but they're also Christian.
No, Druze, they are more like
Muslims, they follow the Shia. Sunnis follow to Sunnah, and Shiites consider only descendants of Prophet Muhammad can be leader of Muslims.
So they're caste Goswamis.
Yes, caste
Goswamis. And oh my God, the caste Goswamis. Oh, is that why the Shias? Because I had a music teacher. He was Shiite. Because his line goes back to, I'm not sure where it went back to, but it was, you know, somewhere that side. And he was kind of saying that the Shiites are like the Brahmins of the Muslims. That was his opinion. You know, so whether others consider it like that, but that's how he saw it. Oh, okay, they're smart. They're caste Goswamis. So they're smartas and caste Goswamis. Yeah, it's amazing. It's always the same thing. Whatever you have, it always breaks into these same groups. Because then some will consider that the Sufis, they go too far, so they're like the Sahajis. And that, and then the Shiites are your caste Goswamis.
It's not possible because Jesus Christ was a monk. So he didn't have
descendants. So you can't connect to him.
Oh, okay. So Christians can't do that. Or they didn't want to do that, because some give the point that being Jewish and being a rabbi, you can't be a rabbi unless you're married.
Yes, too.
You know, it's like that. It's just rabbis are married. You know, only when you get married, because then you're considered a mensch, so you'd be mature enough to read things properly. And so then that's the problem, because it was, I don't think the Jews had a problem that he was married, but because they didn't really keep a good connection, but the Catholics, because they were based on this purity, then he shouldn't have a wife, even though traditionally he should have had, you know, like that. But what to do? And so then there's all these theories about there is descendants of him, but that's completely hidden, and that's where you're called, what do you call it? Something Templar?
Templar.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The knights?
Yeah, the knights, Templar? Templar knights. That one of the things they do is guard the descendants of Jesus.
And go after the ark.
And go after the ark. Even though it might be there in Ethiopia. And the chalice? They don't go after the chalice? The cup?
Also.
Okay.
We go after everything. Hired people.
Yeah. So it's just, it's the same. Bhaktivinoda Thakur talks about all this in the principles of it in the Tattva Vivek. Is that you have pure devotion. Then when you come down the material platform, you have two groups, karma and jnana, and everything comes out of that. Either this side, that side, or combinations. And so everything. So you start with one thing, it'll always break into those. So every religion, if you go and study, it will have those breakdowns. So it's just the way it works. You know, all the philosophies, everything, they're there. They're eternal principles. And then it's just at different times, different people are professing them. But they're always the same. Old grape juice, new bottle.
They didn't drink grape juice because they didn't have fridges. So it turns into wine very fast.
Oh, so it turns into wine anyway.
And you might as well
properly take care of it so it doesn't come out as vinegar, right? I can be anything, it just depends on what is their medium. But true jnanis means they understand the difference between matter and spirit. But in other words, they may be intellectuals. So you said they're monotheistic, so in that way you can say they're on that monomoy platform. But just socially, how they interact, they might not be. Because otherwise, then who's following strictly? You understand? I mean, it's like you have groups, it's like the Hasids and the Orthodox, then they follow a lot of the rules that are there, and it's because God said. You know, the form that they use may be something that's developed, but it's the idea that's there and all the prayers and stuff like that. So, you know, just with time it gets adjusted. That's the advantage to having a parampara when you don't, you know, lose anything.
Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.